This notion that at the end of the Visarga period, or the beginning of the Adana period, in other words, when there's the most moisture, the least dryness, that is when health is at its best. So the one question that I had asked and you had responded to was, because it seems that for the Vata that makes sense, but for the Kapha that seems to be counterintuitive. The other question is, I'm wondering sort of how context-specific or how universalifiable that is. In terms of, in America, I think at least it's my experience, and I would think that, I mean, this means like December, January, February period, that in America, this is the time when everyone is the most sick. And the summer period, June, July, August, is the time when you're doing fine. Your health is just fine. And I'm wondering if, because of the difference of the climates, here we have a situation where it gets, in the summer, it's not dry. It's very, very moist and humid. The air is, but in the winter, there's almost, whether you could be going instead of from the middle of the spectrum to one extreme, we start at the other extreme and go to the middle of the spectrum. And so whether there might be, it might be reasonable in light of this to say that for a different climate, the end of the Adana and the beginning of the Visarga might actually be the more helpful thing.
Very pertinent question and very simple question, I should say. Very pertinent and very simple. The Charaka Sanghita has described Adana and Visarga periods according as it exists in the area where Charak Sanghita was composed. Even in India, this will not work universally. Mid-January through mid-July, the period of Adana, and mid-July through mid-January period of Visarga, that will not work universally even in India. It will not work. The relationship between the individual and the cosmos, the nature, everything, as you will see, everywhere it is a conditional advice. How to deal with the ailments, in that you have mastered those verses also. Viparita gunaihi desha matra kalopapaditaihi. Of course, kindly pardon me, I have got a bad habit of quoting from the original verses. This is a bad habit. Everywhere it must not be quoted. All of you may not be understanding Sanskrit, so I should not try to present my pedanticity by quoting those verses. But my habit is that I depend on those verses. And unless I remember them, I cannot tell you the facts. That is my weakness. I must confess my weakness also. So, it says, Ayurvedic advice is, everywhere, this is a universal advice, that if you are, individual advice is to each and every individual, if you are a kapha predominant person, for you, all kinds of treatments, whatever treatment you deserve, will have to be planned, limiting those treatments to the fact that you belong to a kapha predominant group of people. Every treatment may not be equally universally effective for every body in every region all the time. So desha is Desha is the region. Regional variations will be there. Matra variation will be there. For example, a Vata Prakriti person. Vata Prakriti person is to be given, he should take sweet. Sweet meats or sweets, edibles. But if it does not tally with his other habits, if he is already a sugar patient, he cannot be advised. Nobody can advise him to take sweets and all that. So everything, desha is region, matra is dose, every dose, sometimes even diabetic persons are to be given some sweet things. I know. When it comes to zero, it is they face hardships on account of that. So desha, matra, and kala differs from place to place. It is not everywhere the same thing is not there. The same situation is not there. The situations vary according to the times and all that. So your question is very simple question, and the answer is that the answer is that one has to see when the nature absorbs the moisture of the earth in a particular area. When the wind is so sharp that things get dried up, and as a result of that drying effect of the wind and the effect of scorching heat created by the sun, the sun and the wind, they create problems. They are responsible for both periods, Adana and Visarga. Adana means the period of the year when the nature takes away the moisture, unctuousness of the earth. That period is called Adana period. Adana, they call it. This way. And they call it Adana. So Adana is absorption. Absorption of moisture. Moisture of the earth. And who are the main kidnappers of the moisture? Who take away the moisture of the earth? There are two. One is the sun, and the other is the wind. Sharp wind has the drying effect, and scorching heat of the sun that takes away the moisture. And what happens then in that Adana period? Then you have bitter test. The tests are also the rasas. The first 2 months bitter test, and then comes astringent test, kasaya, and then pungent or hot. So these tastes also, if you will observe really in the every region, so the region when the bitter taste or astringent tastes and pungent taste, they appear, the plants or whatever it is. There are some, now of course everything has been artificialized, so it is very difficult to judge that. But if there are growth of plants and natural, I should say, the ripeness of plants, and that you can observe the bitter and astringent tastes and pungent tastes when they come. These are the symptoms of the Adana period. And do you know these tastes, bitter, astringent and pungent tastes, they are, as a matter of fact, helpful, conducive to the alleviation of kapha. They are alleviators of kapha. So if you are predominantly of kapha nature during that period, Adana period, the nature has provided for you bitter and astringent tastes and pungent tastes, and you will find it very, very helpful. And if you are vata predominant, so that is the period, and you see the wind is sharp in that period, sun and wind, day. So for this period, Adana period, is the worst period for Vata people. They have to be very, very careful about that. And as opposed to that, Visarga period. Visarga period, when the nature gives away moisture. Of course, poets describe an ideal king or collection of taxes from the people. The Sanskrit poets have described an ideal king who collects not a big heavy amount of taxes from the people, but he gives away more than he collects as taxes from the people. An ideal king is he who gives in thousands, and as the nature takes away some moisture during the summer season or late winter season and through summer season, but it gives away much more during the rainy season and autumn and early winter. So Visarga is, Adana is, you know that Adana begins with January to July or something like that, mid-January to June. This is the Adana period. Adana period in North Indian situation, I should condition it. In North Indian situation, it will be, Adana period would be January to June. I don't know what would be the here. Everybody has to determine what would be the Adana period for Pennsylvania.
Late May, so
stronger in the summer, but the wind is stronger in the winter.
Yeah, it's not like in the summer it's more humidity and
things like
that, so it's
more winter. Yeah, it's not at all dry.
No, the wind. No, but even according to Ayurveda, the wind is not inactive during the period of Visarga.
Right.
You see, you can say July to December, Visarga period. So,
this people who have eczema, this dry skin, this most people that I know that have it is much worse, much more horribly aggravated in the winter than it is in the summer.
It is aggravated during winter.
Yeah, during this period now.
I mean, it gets dried up.
Yeah.
But drying effect, you have more. Drying effect is more felt in winter than in summer. Do you think?
I think that's true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people get checked, lip chapstick, hands, in the winter, not in the summer.
Oh, I see. So it has to be. It depends. It depends upon region to region how it behaves, and one will have to study the local situation and local conditions. It will be a good topic for research for Ayurvedic people. What regions have? What is the period of Adana and Visarga? And as you have seen, there are two instruments for Adana as well as for Visarga. The Adana period, the sun and the wind. The wind is very, very short during the Adana period. And Adana period is also January. January is perhaps the coldest month also in India, it is. So in North India also, January is the coldest month. But then in February, that wind, the sharp wind, that is not so felt in January as in February. And that sharp wind has the drying effect, no doubt. So here also you might be having that thing. Will not be. Because the winter has two parts. In Adana and Visarga, you will see this: the early December, early winter is Visarga. Early winter is Visarga. It comes under Visarga. But the late winter is Adana. And what you said, that Adau Ante Cha Daurbalyam Visargadanayohu. So the Adi of Visarga, what is that Adi? Adi of Visarga is July. July would be is the beginning of Visarga, and Adana end is June, May, June. May, June, and you could say July, August. So this will be the Adi of May, June. May, June would be the Anta of Adana, minor. And this is July, August would be the beginning of Visarga. So these periods, May, June, and July, August, these 4 months are considered to be not too good for for health. May, June, and July, August. And mid one is very good, mid one is middle, and then just the opposite, anta of visarga would be December, January, or November, December, whatever it is, the 2 months period. And then you could say, Anta of Visarga, that is December, January, and Adi of Adana would be January, February. So November to February is the best period, is considered to be the best period according to the situation available normally in North Indian condition. That's all I can say. And the situations here, what are they, and how to, one will have to make a special study for that. And also it will be very interesting to plan some study of what is the position of dosha predominance in what region. How many people are kapha predominant people, how many are pitta predominant, how many vata predominant. Even in India, even elsewhere, this research will throw much light on many situations, health situations. And from a public health point of view, this type of study, I think we should all plan it. We should do it, and it will be really very, very important study. And every university should have something like that, because this will play a very significant role in preventing some of the diseases, which are, as you are saying, that eczema is so rampant during the winter. Why is it? What could be the reason behind it? About eczema, I have to tell you a story also. Once in a while, we should know something about these things. And it is a real story, it is not a mythical story. In a remote corner of Bengal, very recently, in the last century, I think it was in 1970s or something, say in 70s, in a rural area, a poor person was having his cows and buffaloes just on a point where there was a ditch, and there was a stick type of vegetable. You have that stick. Which is, we find it here also. Here also we get it. We call it something like sahajan. Sahajan. And it is a sticky vegetable. And we chew it and throw it. Sticky vegetable, sahajan. It's I will tell you its English equivalent next time. So there was a tree, and that sahajan leaves and fruits were falling, and so water had become so dirty, and it was giving a very bad smell. So people asked him that you clean your that ditch, so that that smell is very bad smell, it is coming out of it. They threatened him also. So the poor fellow, one day, he spent all his time to get that ditch cleaned. He has eczema in his leg. So that day, he could never sleep, have a sound sleep during the night. It was so painful eczema he was having. For years he was a patient of eczema. That night he slept well. Then the doctor, there are in villages, there are some third-rate doctors. So he didn't visit that doctor for a number of days. So then doctor asked him, what has happened? Are you all right? He said, I am all right, doctor. I don't know how everything is gone. I can sleep now and I have no problems. So then that doctor somehow reported this to his bigger doctor of that area, and then some research was conducted, and it came out that Sahijan is the best antidote to any skin diseases. Even for liver, it was considered to be very, very effective, and it was found out. So there are, nature provides. In summer season we find watermelons in summer season. So nature provides everything, every time. And what is more important is that yesterday somebody had asked me the question about moon and the sun. That moon also has, moon also derives light from the sun. So what we call Saumya, that is this period of Visarga, is called Saumya period. Saumya means it is when lunar coolness is predominant. And this is called Agneya. Or Saura, where the heat element is more predominant. But what happens? This period, which is called Visarga period, during this Visarga period, what happens? The moon is more predominant in Visarga period. And predominance of the moon, what effect does it have? Your inner fire, inner metabolism, inner appetite, that increases. So doesn't it look contradictory? The moon should have cooling effect, and that cooling effect should affect the metabolism or appetite, power of appetite. It should affect power of appetite, and power of appetite should go down. But it happens otherwise. During the Saumya period, during the lunar coolness, when the lunar coolness is predominant, during that period, your appetite increases. And it is pointed out, read it out from the text itself, that if you don't provide heavy food, the fire doesn't get anything, so it starts burning the very tissues. That's what it says. So nature has everything, every moment, and if you are having the drying effect during certain period, drying effect of the wind or the sun, nature must be providing something, some plants or something which could serve as an antidote to that. But for that you have to go through some local situations and local conditions. You must be knowing that what they call quinine, that came out from Shinkona tree somewhere in the United States, and that was used by these local what you call Red Indians or American Indians. They were using it for fever and all that. Shinkona, the tree, the name of the tree was Shinkona.
What's the drug that you
mentioned? And quinine came out of that Shinkona. And they processed it and they made it. Of course, the system is that they try to locate the active agent in a tree or in a plant. What is the active agent for what disease it can cure? So that active agent they could discover, and based on that they have quinine. Quinine also is an antibiotic, and it has side effects all the time that it has. So you have all gone through the chapter that we had asked you to go through, or as Devanji had planned it, your syllabus for that. You have gone through that. So you have some questions. So you, Mr. Das Ji, you kindly go through pages 36, 36 through 37, and you kindly read it out so that people could understand it.
Sure.
And I will also understand something from you.
So just starting with this, all one day, that verse?
That's right. The verse you need not quote.
Yeah.
Translation on.
Thus is said, in the beginning of the period of emission, and at the end of the period of dehydration, weakness prevails in human beings. In the middle of both, strength becomes moderate. However, at the end of the period of emission and the beginning of the period of dehydration, human beings get considerable amounts of strength.
Is it clear to all of you? All right.
So that's the translation itself, and then this commentary. The period Adana, dehydration, consists of late winter, spring, and summer. The period of Visarga, emission, consists of the rainy season, autumn, and winter. As it has been shown above, generally people are susceptible to weakness during the former, while they gain strength during the latter period. But this is a general statement which cannot be taken too seriously.
That also is to be noted. That too is to be noted. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In fact, the rate of weakness or strength is to be determined according to the seasons rather than the period as a whole. Thus, even though the Shishira season happens to come in the period of absorption, and if you look on page 32, you'll see that means late winter, January, February, February, March. It's the first of the Adana, the dehydration period. although it happens to come in the period of absorption, people gain strength during this season. Similarly, though the rainy season is one of the seasons of emission, that is Visarga, people are susceptible to weakness during this season. The susceptibility to weakness, or otherwise, is in fact to be determined according to the following principle. As regards the period of absorption or dehydration, the first season, that is Shishira, is conducive to strength and good health. The second season, that is spring, gives rise to moderate strength. The third season, namely the summer, causes weakness. The process is reversed during the period of emission. Its first season, that is the rainy season, causes susceptibility to weakness. The second season, the autumn, gives moderate strength, while the last season, that is winter, is conducive to strength and good health. The principle mentioned above is quite simple. One who has gained enough strength during the last season of the Visarga Kala, the period of emission, will not altogether lose it during the first season of the Adana Kala, the period of absorption, even though the weakening process has already started. For example, although the night starts getting shorter during the month of, this should be Magha,
right?
January to February, and Paluna, February to March, it is still longer than the day by virtue of its having gained considerable length toward the close of Pausha, December 10th. Thus, the effects of the sun and so forth on time, season, and tastes, thus the effects of the sun and so forth on time, season, and tastes, and bodily strength have been explained. Their effects on the vitiation of doshas will be subsequently explained.
So, any question up to this point, if you have, then you could read from page 38, just English portion, because some points have been raised, and it would be better if we go through line by line in their own words, not from me, but from the text itself. 38. Yes. Not Sanskrit portion.
During the cold winter, the digestive power of human beings, so in good health, strength, is enhanced due to the restraint cast upon it by the cold wind, so much so that it's capable of digesting any foodstuff, irrespective of its heaviness and quantity.
You understand that during winter you can consume more food than in summer.
When it does not get the proper fuel, the digestive fire affects nutritive fluids, resulting in the vitiation of prasa having cold qualities. Therefore, during the winter, one should take the unctuous, sour, and saltish juices of meat of the marshy animals, which are fatty. So, what is marshy?
This is not for Mr. Das. Marshy animals, animals which are there in the places which are marshy places, aquatic, I mean, something. I mean, some river is there or something like that. Some on the bank of the river or the ocean or some such plants. Yes.
One should also eat the meat of a forward-dwelling animal and bitta, a preparation of meat by nutrients, prepared of animals with calcium type, meat by snatching. Thereafter, one should make madira and ibu types of wine and honey. If one habitually takes preparation of cow's milk, cane juice, fat, oil, new rice, and hot water during winter, the span of life is never increased. In winter, one should resort to massage,
So this is to be noted for everybody, vegetarians especially, if one habitually takes preparations of cow's milk, but some of you may not be liking cow's milk, cane juice, fat, oil, new rice, and hot water during the winter, his span of life is never decreased. That's what it is. No, I mean, no, pure water also, you could take hot water. That's true. We will take up this thing also in rejuvenation. Also, hot water is very important. Mm-hmm. Yes, in winter.
In winter, one should resort to massage, unction, application of oil on the head, fomentation by dentalka process, and one should reside in an underground residence and in a heated apartment of a building.
Yes, I should tell you, I have told you also earlier, when I was doing this work on Charaka and when I was describing this Jantaka type of heating therapy, I thought that this is an inhuman type of heating. One has to sit, the patient has to be seated in the middle of fire all round fire, fire, fire. And the person needs to sit in the center. And he has to be told that you cannot come out of this room until you get fully perspired. And even if he wants to come out, he should not be allowed to come out. It's such a strict advice. So I thought it was an inhuman type of prescription. But an immunologist, now from Connecticut University, he tells me that this is being experimented in Buffalo University, somewhere very close to New York. This is being experimented, and it has been found out to be very, very effective, especially in relation to the cure of cancer. Because cancerous tumor itself has a very, very efficacious therapeutic element. The tumor itself has it. And the more you are heated, the more efficacious it becomes. So in that context, it is being experimented, was being experimented. I don't know the present position there. Yes, please. Perspiration, you must be knowing.
Yeah, full perspiration. What is fully perspired?
Fully perspired means from head to foot you are fully perspired.
You're covered in perspiration, or like you have perspired all of the juices in your system?
No, you're... I don't know how to explain it, that perspiration should be reflected on the on all parts of your body. That's what it means. And I must tell you, perspiration or perspiring water itself is used as a therapeutic measure for certain medicines, certain ailments. There was a paper read out in one of the World Sanskrit conferences. So perspiration also, I don't know what is it which cannot be used as a therapy. Even the poison becomes ambrosia, or if not properly used, an ambrosia also becomes poison. So you have to know how to process something. For example, metals. We are not allowed even to talk about metals as therapeutic items. People are very much very sensitive in this country and all over the world. Ayurveda also tells us the same thing, that all metals have poisonous effect. But if they are properly processed, they create wonderful, incredible results. I should tell you, that one doctor from New York, she conducted this experiment on a number of prostitutes in Nepal. Those prostitutes were originally, they belonged to Nepal, but they were doing this, practicing this in Bombay, and they had lost all faith in themselves, and they were counting their last days. And that lady, as she reported, and she sent us a summary also, but she could not come for the final meeting. She said that there is a medicine, Jerry Fort. It's a bigger edition of Javanaprasha. So she was giving them an overdose of that Jerry Fort. For a month she gave them, and they were feeling considerably relieved. She was a doctor, so she could make only a conditioned statement. She didn't say that they were relieved totally, but she told me that they earned weight, they could sleep comfortably in the night. They were happy, there was no suffocation, there was no disturbance anywhere, and they developed certain immunity also, certain factors which they didn't have earlier. All that she was telling me. And she was also telling me that in Nepal there is a locality which is people use certain herbs, and that those herbs are just they serve as antidotes to all types of cancer or AIDS and all that. She was telling both these things, and she was a modern doctor, allopathic doctor. So nature provides everything everywhere. So let us see what is the general advice for winter season. Let us see. You don't have this book. So this is Jantaka process. Yes, yes. In winter, one should resort to.
In the winter, one should resort to massage, unction, application of oil on the head, fomentation by Jantaka process, and one should reside in an underground residence and the inner heated apartment of a building. In the winter, one should see that the conveyance, bedding, and seat are well covered, especially by heavy wrappers, skin, silken cloth, ropes, and blankets. One should wear heavy and warm clothes and should besmear his body with heavy agulu.
Now you read one should avoid last sentence you read. You leave out okay. Other things.
One should avoid food and drink which are white and are liable to vitiate the process.
Do you understand that? One should not take light food during winter. One should take only heavy food.
Mm-hmm. One should not expose himself to cold water. Underfeeding and intake of gruel are also to be avoided. As stated in the previous verse, the winter is the best season for the attainment of good health. The effect of the season, however, is more felt only when the winter is excessively cold. The process is quite simple to explain. As the application of cold mud by a potter over the furnace restrains the inner heat and thereby helps burning of the earthen pots, so also the cold wind, because of its contact with the skin, restrains the outward movement of the inner heat and enhances the power of digestion and metabolism.
You have understood this, all of you? Because the outer cold serves as a cover for the inner heat The inner heat does not come out. It is restricted by the cold wind. So inner heat is enhanced during that period. And that is why you need heavier food during winter. I am also eating much more these days.
Mm-hmm. So it is not that the cold wind itself is transformed into fire. It rather enhances the inner heat only by obstructing its outward movement.
That's right. Yes.
The effect of the winter on the power of digestion and metabolism proportionate with the health of the individual. That is to say, the better the health, the stronger is the power of digestion and metabolism. A similar reference is available in the Hastinayaka. While explaining the cause of good health of young elephants, it has been stated, elimination of diseases depends upon the strength of the tissue elements, which in turn depends upon the power of digestion. The power of digestion is the bodily strength. Bodily strength is the outcome of the cheerfulness. Cheerfulness will come only when there is unrestricted fulfillment of desires.
Have you understood this? Your psychology also plays a very significant role in your health conditions. If you are not cheerful, if you are necessarily or unnecessarily always in a bad mood, you are not having good spirit, that will always affect your health. So that thing also, that point is also to be. Yes.
For winter, heavy food is prescribed, both quantitatively and qualitatively. Unless heavy food is taken, the digestive process cannot function properly. Because, for the want of adequate fuel within the body, the digestive heat will start consuming tissue elements of the body, as a result of which the vata gets vitiated. This also happens because the vata is cold by nature, and its contact with external cold wind during winter season renders it liable to be vitiated. This can be neutralized only by the intake of heavy food, which provides sufficient heat and also adequate nutrition to the tissues. The vitiated vata generally brings about both aggravation and reduction in the power of digestion. But in this case, the vitiated vata brings about only aggravation and not reduction, as it happens in the case of Medaroga, characterized by the excessive deposition of adipose tissue due to defective metabolism.
That's all right, even though you...
Even though the meat of aquatic or marshy animals aggravates kapha, it has been prescribed in animals, has been prescribed in this season food serves as an antidote to the vitiation of vata, which is more harmful. Moreover, to neutralize the vitiation of kapha, sexual intercourse and such devices are also prescribed for this season. Sexual intercourse, in fact, does not only neutralize the vitiation of accumulated kapha, but it also prevents cold and brings about strength. The Hemanta and Sucera seasons are almost similar in nature, with the only difference that in the latter, dryness caused by a dana absorption and cold caused by the cloud, wind, and rains prevail. So the entire prescription for winter is to be followed in the Sucera as well. One should stay in a windless and warm room during the Sucera. One should avoid taking such of the diets and drinks as are possessed of pungent, bitter, and astringent taste, which are instrumental in vitiating the vata. During the Sucera, one should avoid taking full diets and drinks.
And now, spring. Spring is coming.
During the spring, the accumulated kapha is liquefied by the heat of the sun, and as such disturbs the power of digestion and causes many diseases. So one should administer therapies like emesis, etc. One should avoid heavy, unctuous, sour, and sweet diets. One should not also sleep during daytime. With the advent of spring, one should habitually resort to exercise, function, smoking, gardening, delirium, expiratory
orifices should be regularly washed. Smoking, when you say here, smoking is not of cigarette, not of tobacco. For smoking, I had once prepared some cigar, Ayurvedic cigar. I had prepared that. And I had also smoked that. It is so soothing. But there is no tobacco there. some Ayurvedic ingredients are there, and they are very, very helpful, especially for those people who are suffering from cold or cough or something like that. So it is that you must not misunderstand it as tobacco cigar, and that smoking is altogether different. Yes.
One should besmear his body with kandana and have to take food consisting of barley and wheat, vidu, shashara, dina, baba, and kapunjala. One should drink unpolluted sidhu, types of wine. One should also enjoy the blossoms of the woman and garden. Copper gets accumulated in the seasons preceding the spring. It's liquefied during the spring as the body is exposed to the increased heat of the sun during this time. Thus, copper so liquefied affects both the power of digestion as well as metabolism. Elimination therapies consisting of emesis, propagation.
Yes, elimination therapies are very, very important. We also call it panchakarma. It is called panchakarma. And it is, of course, to put it in a layman's phraseology, vomiting, purgation, and some inhalation, and two types of enema. They constitute elimination therapies, and they are called panchakarma. And they are to be preceded by oleation, about which we have already discussed, and also sudation, that is to say, heating therapy. So oleation therapy and heating therapy, and then these five elimination therapies. Five means this vomiting, purgation, and inhalation, and two types of enema.
Bloodletting
also is there. Yes, bloodletting also comes there as an Ayurvedic device. And for bloodlettings in Ayurvedic times, that insect,
leech.
Yes, that was mostly used. Even now they use it somewhere. Even in Tibetan medicine they use it.
Are they using it as just an intention, like they said something about the blood building up too thickly, so they let blood out, or is it because they want to let out something that's...
Yes, sometimes, especially during the spring season, letting out of blood is prescribed for everybody, sometimes for everybody, and in some cases for specific type of diseases also. Yes.
Emetic therapy should be administered in the month of Kadra only. Sexual intercourse in amount of moderation is prescribed in the season so as to minimize the cough in the body.
Yes, then next.
During the summer, the sun evaporates the moisture of the earth by its rays. In the season, you take a sweet, cold, earth-weighted, unctuous diet from the as prescribed. When it takes cold vodka, the type of rope, along with sugar as well as the meat of the animals and birds of arid climate, tea and milk along with shali rice during the season does not suffer from any diseases. One should either drink alcohol in little quantity or should not drink at all. Even if one drinks, he should drink along with plenty of water. One should further avoid taking diets which are salty, sour, pungent, or hot. Physical exercise is also to be given up during the season. During the daytime, one should sleep in an air-conditioned apartment. During the night, after having smeared the body with sand or paste, one should sleep in the open, in the airy room of the house, which is covered by bricks and moon. When decorated with pearls, should be comfortably seated in a chair, enjoying fans and the touch of tender hands, both cooled with sand or water. One should keep himself aloof from sexual intercourse and should enjoy gardens, cold water, and flowers during the season. Rope mingled with cold water and tea, having two liquid milk or solid, is known as mantha. During the summer, alcoholic drinks are generally prohibited. However, for those who are addicted to drinking, it might not be advisable to prohibit it altogether. For them, drinking in smaller quantities is prescribed. But for them also, only the drink mixed with plenty of water is prescribed. If the liquor is diluted with plenty of water, it gets rid of its harmful qualities of heat, sourness, etc. If alcoholic drink is completely withdrawn from those who are addicted to it, this may lead to diseases due to the break of habits. So drinking a smaller quantity or drinking liquor diluted with sufficient water is prescribed for this person.
So have you understood this warning? Those who are addicts of anything, for that the process is given in Ayurveda, that it should be, his addiction should be cured slowly and gradually, not all at once. If it is done all at once, it will have its adverse effect. And for that, let us have some diversion also. The table, the multiplication table of 9, do you know? Multiplication table of 9. If you start from 0, 9, so it is 0, first one, or whatever, it is 9. And if in binary system it would be 0, 9. And then what is its table? The 9 to the 1, 8. So 0 is going on increasing, 1. And the right hand side is going on decreasing. So 9 to the 18. So 1 is increased, the good habit is increased, and the bad habit has come to 8. And then 9 3 the 2 7. Should I write it? It is better to write it. Nine is there, 0, 9, 1, 8, 2, 7, 3, 6, 4, 5, and 5, 4, and 6, 3, and 7, 2, 8, 1. And 9, 0, it will, the right hand side will come to 0 in 10 days. So this the table of 9 tells us how to go on increasing the positive sides and decreasing the negative side slowly and gradually in succession. So that is the table of 9 provides us a correct method of curing any addiction. It cannot be and it must not be practiced all at once, simultaneously. That's what it says here. So where were we? So, yes, then the next somebody should. For rainy season.
So, next.
In order to maintain normal power of digestion, one should take old barley, wheat, and soggy rice, along with the meat of arid animals and vegetable soup. Moreover, one should drink the Nagvika or Arista type of liquor, pure rainwater or water from the well or pond, boiled and cooled, mixed with little honey. It is advisable to rub the body, apply unction, take bath, and wear fragrant garlands during the season. One should wear light and clean apparel and should reside in a house devoid of humidity. In the event of the body being weakened, the power of digestion is also weakened. For the power of digestion always depends upon bodily strength.
Yes.
The factors that cause vitiation of vata, pitta, and kapha are the water vapor coming out of the earth, rainwater, and the acidity of water. The water vapor coming from the earth vitiates all three doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha, due to specific actions. The rainwater vitiates vata and kapha. The rains are responsible for the increase of acidity in water, which causes vitiations of pitta and kapha. In fact, the weakness in the power of digestion also causes vitiation of all three doshas. Kapha, pitta are vitiated due to non-digestion of half digestion or half digestion of food. Vata is vitiated due to consumption of tissue elements caused by inadequate production of the nutrient material responsible for the nourishment of tissue elements. It therefore follows that during the rains, the vitiation of doshas is caused by the weakness in the power of digestion and vice versa. Even though, by nature, honey is responsible for the vitiation of vata, its intake in small quantity is prescribed in order to overcome dampness of the rain.
Yes, there is one point that is to be understood. On the previous page 46, you have said the water vapor coming from the earth vitiates all the three doshas, vata, pitta, and kapha, due to specific action. The technical term in Ayurveda is prabhava. We were discussing also yesterday, prabhava. There are certain herb or any medicament. It has virya. Either it is cool or it is hot, ushna or shita. It has several gunas, some of which you have already seen. Gunas means attributes. But apart from those attributes, apart from this virya, and apart from their whatever doshic effect they might be having, they have one specific action, prabhava. As, yes, you were asking something. For example, we have seen there are three herbs that have all the five tastes. The amalaki, and the haritaki. These are the two constituents of Tripala. They don't have only saline taste. Otherwise, all the tastes, sweet, sour, and hot, astringent, and bitter. All these five tastes are there in amalaki as well as in haritaki, the two constituents of Tripala. Only saline taste is not there. So all the five tastes having mutually contradictory attributes, they may create confusion in the health of a person. Some is vata aggravator, some taste is kapha aggravator, some taste is pitta aggravator, and all the tastes have combined there. So it should create confusion in the person who takes that amalaki or haritaki. But it doesn't happen on account of this specific action, what they call prabhava, P-R-A-B-H-A-V-A, prabhava, a specific action. That is very important. So on account of this prabhava, both Haritaki as well as this Amalaki, they have wonderful effect. They can alleviate all the three doshas if appropriately taken. Similarly, Lashuna, garlic. Garlic, there was a time when I was not taking garlic at all. My family was, there was a ban on even the bringing garlic in home. But Ayurveda says garlic is an amrita, it is an ambrosia. Garlic also has five tastes. The five tastes that it has is sweet and not sour, saline, and then hot, bitter, and astringent. It doesn't have sour taste only. But these five tastes should create confusion again. But it does not create any confusion on account of this specific action. Apart from the potencies, apart from the attributes, that's a point of union of the modern, I should say, technique of preparation of medicaments and the Ayurvedic style of manufacture of medicaments. That's a point where they should meet and they should discuss the principle of active ingredient is all right, but it is based on the presumption that the chemicals are separate, they have separate effects. And if this chemical has this effect, then this is the active ingredient of this plant, and that can be had chemically from the nature. It can be obtained. That's how they prepare medicines. But they forget that a plant is not merely a total of the various chemicals. It is not that. Beyond those chemicals, there is something specific beyond that in every plant. So if you take the plant as such, the whole plant, you take it with that specific action, that is very much there. But if that specific action is not there, if you isolate them, then you will have isolated quick effect, you will have. But along with that quick effect, as Ayurveda says, you will have some side effects. But if you take it, if you take a holistic view of every plant, then the whole of the plant is not merely a total of all those chemicals, but there is something beyond that that has to be kept in view. Anyway, so then who is the next? My desire is that everybody should participate in it. And you feel that you are attending a seminar and you are doing something.
When it is too cold due to heavy rains accompanied with storms, the sour and salty diets are required to be taken. Even though such diets vitiate pitta, they are exceedingly useful in overcoming the vitiation of vata, which is the most harmful of all. The body parts adapted for rains and cold are suddenly exposed to the heat of the sun at the beginning of autumn. So the pitta accumulated during the rains gets generally vitiated. In this season, sweet, light, cold, and bitter foods and drinks, which have potentiality to alleviate pitta, are to be taken in proper quantity when there is good appetite. Furthermore, the meats of lava, kamsa, kapanjala, ina, antelope, urabra, sheep, saranta, wakiti, and sasa, rabbit, rice, barley, and wheat are prescribed during this season. Intake of ghee prepared with bitter medicines, purgation, bloodletting are also prescribed for the season.
Yes, my dear friend, you were asking about bloodletting. So in autumn, bloodletting is prescribed for everybody.
One should avoid taking sun bath, fat, oil, and meat of aquatic and marshy animals and alkaline salt preparations and curd in food. One should not sleep during daytime and should not expose himself to frost and easterly winds. The water exposed to the heat of the sun during the daytime and to the cooling rays of the moon during the night, also purified by time and detoxicated. By star cannabis is known as Hansodaka, which is spotlessly clear and is beneficial as nectar for the purpose of bathing, drinking, and swimming. Use of garlands made of autumnal flowers and clean apparel, and also the rays of the moon in the evenings are exceedingly beneficial in the season.
As we have talked about it even earlier, there is a special type of therapeutic water, rain water. Of course, we have to decide about it. It's a very harmless and a very simple thing, but it is also difficult. Here, perhaps it may not be so difficult, but in Indian conditions, where birds and insects and all that, they are flying everywhere, it is very difficult. You start collecting rainy water after one or two rains, because in the first rains or second rains, there might be something in the atmosphere, some polluted material. But after that, the sky becomes clear, and then go on collecting it and exposing that rain water to the sun during daytime and to the moon during night time, and continue through autumn season. And especially that Sarat Purnima, as they call it, that the Purnima of Ashwina Mantha. That Ashwina Mantha Purnima is celebrated also all over the country, and somewhere in Gujarat also you call it Kojagara, Kojagarti. Who Lakshmi also, it is said that people should, some people celebrate it, everything white they take. White milk, white payasa, that rice and milk gruel, they take it in the moonlit night. And that night is supposed to be the night of divine therapy, Ashwins. And if that water is exposed to the moon up to that period, and when this Agastya, this Canopus also rises during about the same time, so that water is considered to be an ambrosia, and if you take that water, nothing like it. So that's what it says. And then, yes.
I'm not sure if I understood what this means, the first sentence of this section.
Yes.
Body parts adopted for rains and cold are suddenly exposed to the heat of the sun at the beginning of autumn. What does it mean, body parts adopted for rains and cold?
Where it is?
In the beginning of this section, just
under. Oh, the body parts adopted for rains and cold are suddenly exposed to the heat of the sun with the beginning of autumn. There are two things, I will explain it to you. This cough and cold, what we call, generally it is believed that, as you were also telling us, that the cold season is the worst season for cough and cold. But it is not. According to Ayurveda, the cold is accumulated during the cold winter, and then it gets aggravated in spring. Spring is the worst season for cough and cold. Similarly, the body is exposed to the rains and the cold of rains during the rainy season, and then suddenly it is exposed to the sun, and the post rainy season sun is more scorching than pre rainy season sun.
Because this is what you call post rainy season.
That's right.
Pre rainy season sun.
That's right. So post rainy season, the sky is clear and everything is clear. So the rays of the sun are hotter. They have. And really, if you have any experience of the sun during the autumn after the rains, the sun is really more scorching during the autumn. That's what it says. The body parts adopted for rains and cold are suddenly exposed to the heat of the sun with the beginning of autumn. So during that period especially, one has to avoid exposure to the sun, too much exposure to the sun. That's the advice here.
I'm not sure how you mean, what you mean with this word adoption.
Adoption or adaptation, you could say. It is adoption may not be a good term. I quite agree with you. Sometimes there are certain mistakes here. For example, you have seen. Sometimes instead of fomentation, they have made it fermentation. The printer sometimes they think that fomentation is wrong, so it should be corrected. So it is adaptation perhaps. Adaptation was the original word, but they have made it adopted. It is not adopted, used to. It means the body parts used to rains and cold are suddenly exposed to the. That's what it means. Thank you so much. So, next Monday, what shall we do?
Well, the next section is the novel syllabus.
That's a word, yeah.